Well, church, believe it or not, the countdown to Thanksgiving is upon us, right? We are just 4 days away from turkey and from stuffing, from green bean casserole. I make fun of vegetables a good bit. I do like vegetables. I really like the green bean casserole. My brother-in-law thinks he invented it. However, it is on the can. You know, I mean, I don't think he invented it, but it is something that we enjoy as a family. I always make sure my loosest pants are ready for that day so that we can fully enjoy it. But so, you know, over the last couple of weeks, we have been talking about how we are able to thank through it. You know, how do we thank God in the midst of life when life gets difficult? You know, being grateful despite the circumstances that surround us. And, you know, one of those difficult seasons to be thankful for is when your body begins to fail you. You know, how do you give thanks when your body's check engine light comes on? I was talking to a friend of mine recently, and he was sharing that his knee was bothering him. He's a year or two older than I am. And he was talking about his knee, and, you know, so I'm just trying to be funny and make light of it. And it's like, oh, I hope you got a good backstory to it, right? I hope you hurt your knee because you're out mountain climbing or mountain biking or skydiving, something like that. And he got really quiet. He goes, no, actually, I hurt it because I got up from my desk chair wrong. And, you know, we kind of laughed at that. And so I had to, you know, be honest with him. So I've gotten to that age now when I talk to friends, we talk about ailments. And so I told him, I said, well, you know, I've got to confess too. I said, I hurt my shoulder last week because I rolled over in bed funny. You know, I mean, I just never would have thought that would happen, not this soon at least. But, you know, getting older is not for sissies. It is difficult. But getting older is something that happens to all of us, right? We get older and our bodies that once enabled us to do so much begin to give out. And for some, it's just a part of getting older, and we take it for what it is. But for some, it can cause a crisis of faith. It can become easy for us to wonder if, you know, being faithful all of these years was even worth it. We may even wonder about God's faithfulness. You know, will we trust God? Will we trust that God is good even when life is not? You know, our response to pain and to challenges determines so much about our future. If we decide to trust, right, we will grow in our faith and we will deepen our intimacy with God. And as a result, we're conformed to the image of Christ. But if we allow our hearts to drift, one day we're going to wake up and we're going to find that we are drowning in doubts, we will be buried in burdens, and feeling very far away from the only one that can heal us. And we often, in the midst of church life, right, we will extol the grandeur of God's faithfulness, and we do that rightfully. It is good for us to give God for his thankfulness to us. And we place a great deal of our focus on his faithfulness, but we will also ignore the gaps in our own. You know, how faithful are we to God? And faithfulness is a byproduct of perseverance. You know, Winston Churchill once said about perseverance, he said, God gave the bulldog a bent nose so it could still breathe when it hangs on. And the same thing should be said of us, right? We are called to be a people that will hang on, that will be tenacious, will have a grip on Jesus. And this morning, as we continue our looking at being thankful through it, we'll be listening to Paul's message to the Corinthians church in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And our scripture this morning is this. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but we are not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. Since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. All of this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, do not lose hope. Do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us the eternal glory that far outweighs them all. And so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, we are able to thank through it because of our Savior. Right? The foundation of it all always rests on Jesus. Have you ever stopped to wonder why God would include us into his plans? I mean, honestly, at times, it just doesn't make any sense to me. Right? The limitless power of the gospel, so wide, so vast that we can't hardly even begin to fathom it or understand it, is entrusted to these limited, frail human beings. I mean, when we compare our ability to God's ability, there is this incredible contrast. We are much like those jars of clay because we are vulnerable and frail and faulty. You know, what is the treasure that Paul's talking about here in these jars of clay? That treasure is Jesus. That treasure is the Savior of the world. That treasure is Christ's sacrifice. It is the treasure of our salvation. The treasure can't even be fully comprehended on this side of heaven. And our treasure lies within the fact that Jesus himself dwells in the heart of those who believe. We hold this great treasure of Christ within us. And they were able to be able to think through it because although we may be troubled, Christ helps us in our distress. And Paul says we are hard-pressed, which is to be squeezed and oppressed, hedged in and pressured. Paul says we are crushed, which is to be distressed on every side and in every place and every way. I hear that, I get this image of just the waves come crashing in and, you know, you feel it. You're on your tippy toes and the water just keeps on coming in and you wonder if it's going to stop, if you're going to be able to breathe or not. You know, we find ourselves in times like that. But we are never beyond God's assistance. We are never outside of the reach of our Savior. You know, we're able to think through it because God never leaves us without hope. Right? We're perplexed, but God's power keeps us from despair. Right? This idea of being perplexed is to be at a loss, to be doubting, to not knowing why. To asking the question, you know, why God? Wondering which way to go, what to do or what to say. Because of the despair that we feel, right? To be hopeless, to have no confidence, no sense of security. We may be persecuted, but Christ never forsakes us. You know, our persecution may come from isolation or slander, criticism, imprisonment, threats. But what Paul is saying about God in this passage is that we are never forsaken. that God never leaves us alone. He is always with us and is there when we need him. Christ is there to give us his presence and power. And prophet Isaiah said it this way in Isaiah 43. And when you pass through the waters, I will be there with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. You know, a number of years ago at a Monday night football game between the Chicago Bears and the New York Giants, one of the announcers who were broadcasting the game observed that Walter Payton, the Chicago Bears running back, had accumulated over 9 miles of rushing yardage. Think about that. 100-yard field, 1,760 yards in a mile. He had achieved over 9 miles of forward progress, to which the other announcer quickly remarked, and he said, yes, and that's with someone knocking him down every 4.5 yards. You know, Walter Payton, arguably one of the best running backs in the NFL, got knocked down. But he would get up and he would continue running. You know, church, when the world comes rushing at us, right? When we are on our tippy toes because the waves come crashing in. You know, we keep our eyes fixed on the prize. We keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, and we keep going. We run the race that has been set before us. And we may get knocked down, but we get back up because what we're looking at is Jesus. And so we continue to run. And so we're able to think through it because he will help us persevere through our suffering. Now, if there's anybody in the New Testament who could talk about suffering, who had a reason to give up, I mean, Paul could make a very strong argument for it. He shares some of the afflictions that he had to deal with in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and he talks about the 5 times he had been whipped with 49 lashes, or the 3 times that he was beaten with rods, or that time when he was stoned, or one of the 3 shipwrecks that he had to endure, and leaving him in the open sea for a day and a night. And Paul literally could have died at any one of those circumstances. But over and over and over again, he faced death and bodily harm for the gospel. Paul never gave up. He kept his eyes fixed on Jesus, and he kept on running the race. You know, we persevere not in spite of suffering, but because of it. And it may sound a little bit strange, but it's true. Because each and every time that we suffer, it brings us one step closer to heaven. It gives us just one more reason to desire a deeper relationship with Jesus. That each time we suffer, it is another opportunity for us to grow in our faith with God, to grow in our walk with God. And suffering is one of those realities of life that Jesus will use to develop godliness within us. You know, C.S. Lewis said this about suffering. He said, pain plants the flag of reality in the fortress of the rebel heart. God whispers in our pleasures. He speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pain. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. You know, God uses the pain of our lives to develop perseverance, because perseverance builds faithfulness. In just a couple weeks, we'll be celebrating the onset of Advent, and there's a story that we shared during that time found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. Simeon, described as a devout and a righteous man of God, had waited patiently for the Messiah. Imagine him going to the temple every day wondering, you know, Lord, is today the day? Nope. Lord, is today the day? Nope. You know, in his old age, guided by the Holy Spirit, he enters into the temple and he recognizes the baby Jesus as the fulfillment of God's promise. And Simeon didn't stop going to the temple. He didn't give up. He continued to walk in faith. He continued to trust. His faithful endurance throughout the years showcases an unwavering trust in God. And that unwavering trust in God leads to the fulfillment of God's promises, even in the later stages of life. And if you get down, if you get knocked down, we need to remember that we are knocked out. We need to remember that faithfulness in the midst of storms of life is that steady anchor. You know, the seas are unpredictable, but our anchor holds steady. With God, we are able to think through it because we have Jesus as our Savior and our hope. We have Jesus to cling to as we suffer. And so we are called to stay true to your faith. Do you hear the drum beats? Stay true to your faith. There's a basketball thing just bouncing against the wall up there. They heard me over the speaker. Because distractions are going to happen. Right? Satan's going to whisper into our ears, look, give up. You know, he wants us to look at those things. He wants us to feel the waves so that we take our eyes off of Jesus. Church, cling to Jesus. And think through whatever life throws at us. Let your life be a beacon to this world that inspires and uplifts the people who surround you. Let your life, let your sufferings be a sign to this world that there's a God that gets you through it. Because somebody else is looking at you. Somebody else is going to be looking at you, looking at your faith. And that is where they're going to find hope. Because God has entrusted this message to these jars of clay, these frail, faulty human bodies. We fall short so very often. But when we allow our walk, our lives, our faith, and we thank God through it all, somebody else in this world who desperately needs to see Jesus is going to see Jesus being lived out in us. You know, we will say week after week, Lord, here we are, please use us. Or Lord, help us to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow after you. Church, allow your sufferings to be used by God so that someone else may find faith in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for your never-ending love for us. Thank you, God, for walking with us, loving us, forgiving us. Lord, help us to see that you are the sure place. At all times and in all places, you are that sure place. Thank you, Jesus, for being the reason we are able to thank through whatever life throws at us. Jesus, we pray all this in your precious name. Amen.